God is always watching. And who do you think you're fooling? Are you fooling them? Are you trying to fool God? We can't fool God. And we're going to have to give account for everything we've done. But it's okay. It's all under grace. We're under grace, Pastor Dan. No, it says God does not change. God does not change. All right? What does it mean to keep God first? Well, we apply it to how we live in five different areas. And here they are. Okay, look. First, this is an acronym that I got a hold of a while back, you know, and I've kept this acronym. I got this from another preacher and kept it. First, F-I-R-S-T. I love it because if you just remember the word first and you remember what each one represents and you remember that you're to keep God first in all these areas, well, the first area is what? And it should be because that's where we live. You need money. Does anybody here, you need money every week? Do you need money every week? Do you need money every month? If all of a sudden you didn't get any money for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, would that be okay? Of course not. You got to have it. You got to spend it. You got to use it. You have to buy things. But he's to be first in our finances. I was sharing with Wednesday night class, telling him, what if I laid out 10 $1,000 bills right here? 10 $1,000 bills, $10,000. And you've got them right there, and it's all across the table. Which is the first? Is it the one on the left? Is it the one on the right? And you got to realize, well, there's a tithe. That's what you've received. That's what you. And there's 10 of them there. Which is the first? The first one you spend. The first one you spend is a tithe. Now grab that, because somebody can say, boy, I've been waiting for this, and I've needed that $1,000 so I can pay my rent. Whew, I go, and I'll pay the rent. Well, you just paid the rent with your tithe because it was the first one. You get it? You get it? It was the first one. Now, I know Candy and Elena, they won't mind me sharing this, but I've known them for years and years, and they have a habit that they do, but they always put their tithe in an envelope to make sure it's not spent. Now, if that works, you know, Debbie and I, you know, we got our budget and everything. She gets ready to write out some bills and everything, but she's got it at the very top. The first one. Isn't that right, Debbie? The first one has to be for the Lord. How much is the tithe again? It's very important. How much is the tithe again? It's 10%, and it's the beginning place. All right? It's 10 cents out of every dollar. All right? And which is the tithe? We already said it. It's the first that is spent or given. So then the question comes, is it possible to give 10% and still not be tithing according to God's word? It's a good question. Is it possible to give 10% to the church and still not be tithing? And the answer is absolutely. Because if the 10% that you're giving is not the first, you're not tithing. Somebody said, well, aren't you getting a little tricky there with words? Aren't you getting a little, you know, word game? No. What I'm saying is that he says the first, and that's so important. Are you still with me? It's God's principle, and it is an act of faith to give percent. After, it is an act of faith to give the 10% before the bills are paid. Now, stay with me. Isn't that right? Can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, I just don't have enough at the end of the month. Well, you know what that's going to take? Faith. That's why you tithe with faith. Amen? It's an interesting thing. If you take the difference between tithers and non-tithers, tithers will always say, man, we're blessed, we're so blessed, and all that. And the non-tithers will say, I can't afford to do it. I can't afford to do it. Now, that's a huge difference. That's a big difference. Because on one side, it's the blessings, he's blessing and blessing and blessing. There's a big difference. Well, yes, we're tithing and he's blessing and blessing. And no, we're not tithing because we can't afford to do it. It's a big difference. Here's the next one. Look at it. F-I-R-S-T. The next one is interest. Now, I'm not talking the kind of interest that you gain on something that you're saving cash on. I'm not talking about principal and interest. I'm talking about your interests. What are your interests? Decisions that you make in regards to interest, hobbies that you may have, a career that you're going after, the recreation that you get involved in, your interest. Who should be first? I love the illustration that Ed Silvoso shares in his book called Anointed in Business. And he was big time into the banking industry, big time. And he had his own office, but in his office, he had a chair that he would keep in a separate place right there in his office, right there where it wasn't hidden or anything, and he called it the Jesus chair. So that every decision, every interest, everything that passed by, he knew this is Jesus' chair, and I'm going to include Jesus in what we've got to do. Jesus in my decisions, Jesus in my interests, Jesus in my hobbies. If you have a hobby that doesn't honor God, get rid of that hobby. You know? You know what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking hobbies of gambling, the lottery, gambling. Can I tell you, that does not honor God? I got one amen. But see, a lot of people like to do it. But can I tell you what it does? It prays, and I'm not talking about this kind of pray. I'm talking about it attacks. It attacks the poor because the poor, they will earn their money, and they can't afford to pay for their rent. They can't afford to pay for their groceries. They can't afford, but they're ready, and here they go, 50, 60, 80 bucks, and they're going and getting their lotto tickets. Help me out, somebody. Tell me now. Y'all help me out, but tell me. People that can't even afford to pay their bills, and they're going off to the wherever, and they're getting here it is. Then they go home, and, man, we don't have enough to... We don't have enough for the kids, but they spent their 50, 80 bucks for lotto tickets. God's not honored in that. He's not honored in that. See, y'all help me out. Somebody said, well, Pastor Dan, you're stepping on my toes too much. I promise you, it's not me. It's not me. All right? It's the interest, the hobbies, the careers, the recreation, the interest. We're to keep God first in all of it. Okay? So challenge yourself. If you're doing the lotto, if you're doing the gambling, if you're doing that and you feel, it's innocent, Pastor Dan, it's innocent. It's not, well, just remember, that's the way everything starts. We're kind of innocent like that with the cable TV and all. It's innocent, Pastor Dan, it's innocent. Then you see one more show, and then you see another show, and then you see shows that you shouldn't be watching. Then you're hearing words that you shouldn't be listening to, and it's coming in. But it all started out innocent, didn't it? It's just one ticket, Pastor Dan. It's just, and one becomes, next thing you know, as soon as they get paid, they're going and spending almost all their check, and they don't have enough. So then they got to go get their food stamps. They got to go get their entitlement checks. Y'all help me out now. All right? Now, interests. Here's the third one, relationships. He should be first in F, finances, I, interests, our relationships. He should be first in our marriage. He should be first in our family. He should be first in our friendships. He should be first in our acquaintances. He should be first on how your friendships work, your relationship work. God should be first. And he gives us the plan about serving one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, honoring one another, blessing one another. All of the instructions that he gives. Forgiving one another. Relationships. He's to be first. And then number four, he's to be first in our schedule. F-I-R-S-T, schedule. The first of each day. Amen? Let me ask you a question. What is the very first thought that comes to your head when you wake up in the morning? Isn't that a good question? I mean, it's good. And I'm talking about not necessarily Sunday morning, maybe Monday morning. Tuesday morning, it's a good little test. It's a good little test, and you wake up, and maybe it's the alarm that wakes you up, or maybe it's just your own body clock that wakes you up. My body clock wakes me up, you know, and because you get used, you're working up earlier. But let's say maybe your body clock, you know, it's not functioning that way, and you got to hear the alarm, and the alarm wakes you up, and first thing you think, oh, I want to sleep some more. I want to sleep some more. Or maybe your first thought, Oh, I got to go to work. What's your first thought? See? And already you're giving your first thought to something, to someone. And I want to challenge you. And because we are people of discipline. Just the way I know that many of us will start our day, and the very first thing, we're getting up and we're getting the coffee going and we're getting our coffee, and we're people of habit. We're people of discipline. But to be a person of discipline, that when we wake up and in my mind, okay, God, give me a quick one real quick. What scripture are you going to give me today, Lord? And he will. Go after a scripture. Go after God thoughts. God thoughts. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Or a God thought that he gives you. Lord, I just thank you for a new day, and I praise you. I worship you, Lord. And how you start your day. Some of you wake up at whatever time you wake up. And what's the first thought in your head? Oh, me. And for a lot of us, and I understand, a lot of us, our first thought is our pain. It's true. For a lot of us, our first thought is our pain, and you get up, and I'm there with you. I hear you. And boy, my feet and my ankle and my knees and my back and my, and it's pain. And our first thought, and we get up and we're moving and we're going, well, let's just change that. And what's, okay, God, it hurts, but you're my healer. You're my healer, Lord, and we're going into this day with you. Change it, because if you don't, then you're just with that pain all day long. You're going to work, oh, this pain, and I'm here to work and ready, ah. And boy, and it's just stealing your joy all day long. I'm telling you, it works to keep God first, because it affects your attitude, your schedule, the first of the day. Jesus in your thoughts at the beginning, when you wake up and you begin to put your thoughts on him. That's scriptural. It's scriptural. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable unto the Lord. Your God, your strength, and your Redeemer. That's in Psalms. And then here's another one here. He needs to be first. Well, look at the bottom one there. Anybody had trouble lately? Huh? So, yeah, Susan says every day. And he didn't promise to take away all your troubles, did you? But he promised to help you through your troubles, no matter what they are. Now, I assure you, if you want to handle your troubles yourself, he'll let you. He will let you. But if you will include God to help you with your trouble, he'll help you. That's one of the huge children of Israel. What was their specialty? Murmuring. What was their specialty? Grumbling. No food, no food. Like little toddlers, you know. No food, no water, no water. Can you imagine Moses after 40 years of all that? And here they're going through the lessons. There's trouble. Didn't Jesus say, he said, this is John 16:33. Great scripture verse to know. It's a good one to put up on your refrigerator. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, Jesus says, you might have peace. For in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And so what is he telling you? He's saying, if I overcome, you overcome too. But even in the same way, he's saying, if you want to try to handle it, go ahead and go for it yourself. Go ahead. But we should be, no, Lord, I want you all over this. Well, then what do we got to do? Got to put him first. I want you all over this, Lord. I want you all over my business, my family, my every area, my finances, my interests, my relationship, my schedule, and even my trouble. You know what this means? This means that you're not going to leave him at the very last. Like we're so capable of doing, so many of us, because of our human nature, that we don't come to God until we're in big trouble. And then when big trouble, oh God, I need you, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, God. And it's like, where were you? Where were you back then? That's our nature, isn't it? I mean, we're so good at it that when we're in big trouble, then we go to God. We leave prayer for the last. And we need to keep prayer up front with our problems, with our, when should you start praying for your husband? When should you start praying for your wife? When trouble comes? No, you should be doing it every day regardless. When should you start praying for your kids? You know, when they come to you that day and, Mom, and they start telling you, they start lowering the boom on you with something huge that happened, then you, okay, well, no, we'll start praying now. No, we pray daily. And we continue to keep them before the Lord. When do you start praying for your job? When you're already so close to losing it? Pray every area. Trouble affects all kinds of different areas. And we have to be ready to seek the Lord every day. Keep him first. Finances, interest, relationship, schedule, and trouble. Exodus 13, 14, 15. Now we're going to close. Now we're going to stop, okay? Here it is. And this is from the very first verses that we were looking at in Exodus 13. But this says, and when, say with me, and when. And when. In other words, this is going to happen, okay? It's going to happen. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? What does this mean? Talking about the firstborn. Talking about the firstborn, the first fruits, and the tithe. They ask, what does this mean? Which, by the way, it's good for the kids to watch how you're tithing. It's good. That's where they're going to learn it. Did you hear Walter? That's where he learned it from his daddy. Imagine maybe even Walter asked his daddy, can I put that in the offering? Maybe he did that sometimes. But I imagine he probably saw his daddy's check sometimes. And probably, Walter probably, you're giving that much, daddy? Why are you giving that much? Why are you giving that much, daddy? Look, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn. You see it? That was their deliverance, the death of the firstborn. And remember, the firstborn of Israel did not die because the blood was already over the doorpost. The firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Do you see it? They come. You know, Mama, why do you write a big check like that? And to a little child, it's big. You know, if it's $50, if it's $100, or whatever your tithe check may be, it could be $500. If it's $500, that says that $500 is the tithe of $5,000 that you got, and that you're remaining with $4,500. So then the question comes, what would you rather be working with? $5,000 that's cursed of God, or $4,500 that's blessed because you gave the first five? Or that's not too technical, is it? The first 500, but we don't give the 500, we keep it, so then I keep my 5,000 because I need that 500. I don't want to spend that, I don't want to give that 500, I need to keep it with the 5,000 so I can spend the 5. Well then, okay, well then you just kept 5,000 that's cursed. Now that's not me, that's the word. That's the word of God. So then little Jimmy, little Johnny, little Mary, why are you giving a check for $500? Because little Jimmy, little Johnny, because one day I didn't know God. And I was in slavery. I was in bondage to sin. And Jesus saved me. And he came into my life. And I was redeemed by his blood. The firstborn. Because Jesus was the firstborn of many that would come forth. You know who are the many? The many is us. That's what Paul said. So he's the firstborn, and then he died. He was the sacrifice to bring the redemption of many. You still with me? So then this is the reason. I could see Ronnie doing that so easily. Because before he came to Christ, he had such a rough life. But that doesn't exempt the rest of us. I grew up in a preacher's home. I never heard my dad cuss. Still don't. Still haven't. Not to this day. I grew up. I didn't cuss. I didn't chew. I didn't drink. I didn't, all these things. But man, I still needed Jesus because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I still need God. And worse than that, if I think that I'm better than everybody, if I think that I'm better than everybody else because I say, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I pray a lot, and I tithe, and I do this, and I do that. Well, I already sin more than all of y'all put together because of my self-righteousness. Doesn't that make sense? So we do it because of what he did for us. God gave us his son, blameless, sinless, without blemish, the perfect sacrifice, because we were the ones with blemishes, with sin, with it, and that's the only way we could be bought. What do you need to change so that God is first? Then the question comes to us, what do we need to change? So this morning, it all begins very, first of all, with that very place. And what I wanted to be assured of here among all of us put together, because I know that we never know who's here among us. I grew up in church, but it wasn't until I was 18 years old that I made my decision to let Jesus be the Lord of my life. And I want you to know that you know that you know that you have Christ in your heart. To know that you know. If you're here this morning, I'm going to just ask with heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment as we pray, because this is your opportunity. Right where you're at. This is God's word, God's presence. He's right here, and eternity is before you. It's an amazing thing that we understand nobody here has the assurance of tomorrow, and you have to know for sure where you're headed. Do you have the assurance that you're going to heaven? That's a yes or no question. And if your response is, yes, I do, I know I'm going to heaven, then the next question, why? Why do you think you're going to heaven? And that's where the question comes, where so many, well, because I'm good. Because I've done a lot of good things. I'm the best I can be. I try to do all what I can to do right. Well, you just blew it. You're going to hell. Because that's not enough. That's why Jesus had to die. He died for us because nobody can live perfect. Nobody can be good enough. Nobody can be the best that they can. That's why, because if we could say that we're going to get there because we're good, I'm a good person, I'm a good son, I'm a good daughter, I'm a good husband, I'm a good, all of this, then why would you need Jesus to die on the cross? You wouldn't need him to die. But he died on the cross because nobody could be perfect. Because nobody could be good enough. And so if your answer is, right before you move into that place, and your answer is, yes, I believe I'm getting there that's the wrong answer. It must be because Jesus has come into your life. It must be because you have turned from your sins to follow him. It must be because you realize, God, I've been wrong and you're right, and I'm going to follow your way. It must be because Jesus himself, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's through Jesus, through him alone. So if you're here this morning, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your past is, Jesus loves you. And all you have to do is just simply come to him. And for people everywhere, it happens so many different ways. In church, in the park, in a stadium, so many different places, on a mission trip, in a vacation Bible school, wherever it is. Or it can even happen right here, right now, this morning, with all of us here. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to make this decision, I invite you to make the greatest decision you can ever make, to receive Christ. Individuals here this morning that says, Pastor Dan, I haven't kept the Lord first, but I want to keep him first. I want to keep him first in every area, beginning with finances. Well, Father, I just pray for that right now. And I believe you for all of these different areas that we've mentioned, finances, interests, relationships, schedules, trouble, that we would keep you first. And I thank you for that, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for all you do in our lives. And I pray your blessings on your people as they go forth. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.